So we've been talking about what matters at church. I mean, like, the things that should matter, what do they really matter? And what does healthy church look like? And this week I read a great question in the Bible. It's an expert in religious law, and he asks Jesus a question. He says, all right, what matters? And there's a reason why he asks this, and it's because the religious leaders in Jesus' day had classified over 600 laws. And this religious leader is asking this question. It's like, okay, a lot of times as religious leaders, they're contemplating, there's 600 laws. Are they all the same? Are some, you know, more important than the others? And with all of these laws, this religious leader asks him, what's important? And so I think Jesus is looking at his heart and saying, you know, all these laws, and a lot of them you've made up to make a law that benefits a law so you don't break this law, and if you think you're going to break this law, let's make six other laws to make sure you don't break this law. And Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Leviticus 19, and he says, all right, I know you've got 600 plus laws. And I'm going to just say it this way. Jesus is talking to this religious expert. How about just two? Do the two. That's it. Yep, they summarize the Ten Commandments, got that. Yep, all the other laws. There were over 600 laws. And now I'm going to ask you just to do two. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Jesus says, focus on what matters and quit making your relationship with God so complicated. And we find this dialogue in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. It's where it starts. And this is how it reads in the Bible. Teacher, and this is the religious leader, teacher, which is the most important command in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Okay, so let me just break it down for you because you've got over 600. Let me make it simple. How about you just love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind? The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the commandments, all the demands of the prophets are based on these two. So Jesus basically says, do the two, God and our neighbors, and you keep all the commandments. And I like this because in that day, they were so concerned about what not to do. No. And Jesus is saying to him, hey, how about we forget about worrying about all the things you shouldn't do, and let's focus on what you should do. And if you're loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you're treating others like you would want to be treated, let's not focus on what you shouldn't do. Let's focus on what you should do. And I love that. Because Jesus was bringing just so much freedom. Let's shift from 600 laws and just do the two. And I started to think about that. I'm like, okay, I don't remember as much as I used to. As a matter of fact, about 25 years ago, I knew everything. Or at least I thought I did. Now, sometimes I don't even remember what I was wanting to do. And 600 laws, how do you remember that? How do you pray when you've sinned? Okay, God, I think it was law 337. And God, I think I broke law 17. No, wait, was that law 71? God, I don't know. Let me pull out my cheat sheet. No, I don't mean to cheat, God. I mean, let me just figure out all of these commands. How do you do that? It was such a burden for people, and these religious experts were so proud of what they could remember and what they could do. They put burdens on people. The average person out working in the fields or tending livestock or those kind of things, they're not going to sit around and memorize over 600 laws. That's why do the two is the greatest commandment that Jesus ever gave. He says, let me make a relationship with you way more personal. Would you just spend some time? Would you spend some time loving me? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And then love others as yourself. Now, this isn't a simple scripture. And we won't take time to unfold all of this, but in order to love others as you love yourself, there's a prerequisite there, right? That you actually have to love yourself. But in order to really love yourself, you've got to get connected with God Almighty, and you've got to confess your sin and realize He loves you in spite of who you are. And when you really get connected with God Almighty and you understand whose you are and how much He cares about you and that His Son died for you, then that connection in heaven always works itself out here on earth. And Jesus said, could we just remember to do the two? Love God and love others. And then a couple of chapters later, this is right before Jesus ascends to heaven, he gives not just a plan for his followers, but he gives a promise to his followers. And so what we just talked about is the great commandment. And the next thing we're going to talk about is called the Great Commission. And part of this commission, I mean, it's one thing to tell his followers, hey, I want you to love me, and I want you to love others. And then he kind of explains a little bit more, well, how do you do that? And this is what happens in Matthew chapter 28. It's the last chapter of the book of Matthew, and it kind of is summarizing the last couple of verses. So Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Remember, do the two. So, hey, guys, I want you not only to believe, but I want it to affect your behavior. And I want you to make more disciples and teach them, do the two. Don't get caught up in all these things. Teach them to love me and to love other people. And what an example that would be to the world. And then he goes on and he says this, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So this is kind of a pep talk. It's a pep talk from Jesus to his followers. And Jesus says, first off, God has given me authority over heaven and all of earth. This is a big deal. And I'll tell you why this is a big deal. Because just a couple of days before, Jesus was crucified, right? And it's like, uh-oh, Jesus is gone. All of our hopes, all of our dreams, everything, we've been abandoned. and nothing works anymore. And so Jesus straight up says, hang on here. I know it was bad, but it was only bad for a moment because I had to die for you. And in order for you to really, really love me, you need to understand the sacrifice that I made for you. And so just understand from this point, from now on, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Yeah, I know it was hard. I know it was bad. I know you guys were freaked out and it was just really tough. But here's something I want you to understand. All authority. Nobody is higher than I am. All authority has been given to me. And he tells his disciples, this is what I want you to do. I've given you a plan. Just go and be an example. Love me, love others. And when others say, hey, I'd like to follow Christ, well, then teach them to obey. Baptize them. And then there's something super important that happens. And it really is kind of like a timeout in the scriptures. You can't miss this. This is the promise that Jesus gives his followers. Jesus says, be sure of this. And if you were to be able to study this in the original language, it's a big deal. I mean, this is a huge deal. And Jesus is saying there's something special going on here. And you've got to pick this up because this really matters. He says, I myself am calling special attention to what I'm going to say because it matters most of all. He says, I want you to realize all authority's been given to me and I've got a little plan for you, but then there's something that you just can't miss. This is so important. He says, you know, it's me. I myself, with complete authority, your divinely resurrected Lord, the eternal God, is now going to say something that matters. And this is what he says. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. One Bible scholar says it like this. Always literally means there's never a day he's not with you. For each Christ follower, it means that you're not alone. It means that you matter. It means that he sees you. You see, they thought he abandoned them. They thought, hey, you're gone, and like you're gone. And now what about us? What are we gonna do? We've given everything to this, and now you died. You know, these are kind of interesting days. I've talked to a lot of people, and I think the thing that people have missed the most this last year is somebody to hug. Somebody that knows we're there. You know, I've heard some of the hardest struggles in nursing homes are because they don't know that somebody cares. They don't know that somebody sees them. They don't know that somebody says, you matter. And people who've been in the hospital and they've had COVID and their family members haven't been able to be there and they take their last breath. And the worry is anybody going to know or am I going to be alone? Well, Jesus understands this. And in the Great Commission, he says, hey, I'm commanded. This is what I want you to do. But you're only going to be able to do this if you understand that when you're lonely, I see you. When you're bogged down, I see you. When you want to give up, I see you. Not only do I see you, I'm never going to miss a day of your life. And I think, whoa. Are we really that important? And we are, if we can comprehend this. The early followers of Jesus were able to comprehend this. That's why when you flip over to the book of Acts, which is the Acts, like people acting, this is what they were doing after the resurrection of Jesus, life changes. They actually believe that even though Jesus ascended, that he's with them. That he believes in them and that, hey, Peter, I know you failed, but I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. This is a big deal. You're not alone. And whatever comes your way, Christ is going to be there with you. And I get it. Sometimes it's hard and we're like, God, where are you? Well, that's just what his followers felt when Jesus was up on the cross and crucified, and they're hiding in a room wondering if they're going to be the next ones put up on a cross. They're going, God, are you even there? It's like, of course I'm here. And you just wait and see what happens. I mean, this is so good. He like gives an instruction. Hey, I want you to believe in me. Do the two. Believe in me. Love me. Love others. Believe, but then I need you to behave in a way that obeys that. And then don't ever underestimate the blessing. God with you. God with me. The reason why I want you to understand this today, it's because of these verses, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, every church is driven by something. Every church has an agenda. Every church, if you pull back the curtain, there's something that you're going to find. And at Hope Church, this is the grid that the leadership looks at when we think about ministry at Hope Church. You dig deep enough into what goes on at Hope Church, and you're going to be able to smell these sweet principles in how we structure ministry. Like today, you're kind of seeing what we do. Like this is what we're going to do on a Sunday. But it's also important to understand why. It's also important to understand what motivates us to do the things that we do. And our purpose actually comes from Christ's direction in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. You know, and here's the thing. At Hope Church, we do a lot of things. Do we always get it right? Well, no, we don't. But we do have a focus and a guide that keeps us on track and moving in the right direction. We've talked about this. It's Christ's example. It's his teaching. It's the early church. And all of that summarized is what we want to be about at Hope Church. So when you hear us talking about, even Pastor Zach mentioned that this morning, when you hear us talking about seeking, serving, and sharing, it's because they summarize. They summarize Christ's direction for his church. And let's just kind of look at that for a moment. When we talk about seeking, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Teach them to obey. You see, that's why we come up with seeking. You know, biblical instruction on Sundays, biblical instruction on Wednesdays, the daily Bible reading. This is why we give you these opportunities, because the Lord said the greatest command of all, let's not worry about 600 things and worry about what we can't do. Let's worry about what we can do. And we can seek him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And what does this mean? It means we can have inspiring worship, and the key here is that we connect with God Almighty, because he said that's the most important thing. And so we want to spend time thinking about how can we help you connect with God Almighty. That's why we offer Wednesday night. That's why we want to come together here in the morning. And then there's the next one. You know, we say seek and then serve. How do we serve? We love our neighbor as ourselves. We're here to serve. We are blessed to be a blessing. It matters. We not only want to know God, we want to know what God wants us to do. And so at Hope Church, we're constantly saying to you, hey, here's an opportunity, here's an opportunity, here's something you can do. How simple is that? God, would you help us to seek you? Would you help us not just to seek you, but to serve you? And this matters. Some years ago, I was desperate for money, and so I was willing to do about anything. And is that for me? And sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes it would be, I mean, I didn't say this, no, 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 yes. Okay, it was all fun and games at the beginning of the day. As we got further to the end of the day, I could see these looks of, that's not for me, is it? And I would think, uh-oh. It wasn't good enough for me to say, well, I'm sure you're loved. It wasn't good enough for me to say, you know, hey, better luck next year. Or, you know, hey, you shouldn't have married him anyway. I mean, it was just hard. Because you can't say to somebody, and of course, Valentine flowers are the biggest deal, but you can't say to somebody, I love you, and then do nothing. And so it's really important that you understand, hey, let's not focus on 600 things we can do. Let's focus on do the two. Seek him and serve him. Yeah. And you know what? I just feel in my heart, don't make an excuse. Don't make an excuse and say, well, I don't have anything to offer. If you breathe, you have something to offer. You just do. You don't have to be qualified. You have to be willing. And you have to pray the prayer, God, what would you have me to do? And God will give you something to do. How many times do we think we don't measure up? Don't think about the spiritual world like you do the secular world. It's not right. God doesn't take the brightest. God doesn't take the fastest. God takes people who are willing to say, I know you, God. I've spent the time to know you. And then he's going to give you opportunities to serve him. And then the last thing, and so we say, hey, we want you to seek, we want you to serve, and then the last one is we want you to share. God never said, I can't defend myself, be my lawyer. He wants you to be an example. He said this, go and make disciples. And again, if you were to study this in the original Greek, it means literally for all of those who call upon his name to go and continue to go. Continue to go and share him. Like there's never a time in our life where being an example for Christ doesn't matter. It all matters. Whether you're here on a Sunday or you're at work on a Monday or at school on Monday. Or thinking about going back to school, whatever that is, if you're retired, this matters. reaching others with what? The greatest news that's ever been given. The greatest news that has ever, ever been given. We were lost and now we can be found because of Jesus Christ. She says, hey, I just need you to focus, do the two, and then remember to make more disciples. And this is exactly what the early church did. Let me just give you a quick example here, and we're going to wrap things up. If you notice in Acts chapter 2, this is the early church living out the teachings and example of Jesus. It's absolutely incredible. It says, those who accepted the message were baptized. Well, that's seeking and serving. That's number one and two. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That goes back to seeking the Lord again. They showed up and cared. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. That's number three, sharing together, not just winning a lost and dying world, but sharing and doing life together. You know what I've really enjoyed? A couple weeks ago, I talked about, you know, that my circumference wasn't exactly what I wanted it to be. And I've had more and more of you say, hey, Jim, how are you doing? I love that. I absolutely love it because it helps me to be accountable. And that fellowship, we need that. The scripture says that iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another person, and we get to be more Christ-like. So thank you for saying, hey, Jim, how are you doing there? I will say this. When I started things out, I wanted to do like the plank. You know what that is? Yeah. They should not call it planking. They should call it tanking. I thought the first time, you know, I'm pretty strong. I'm going to do it for 2 minutes. I was at second number seven and thought I was going into cardiac arrest. I mean, I was like, what is wrong with me? Well, what's wrong with me is that I hadn't given myself realistic expectations and my dog was jumping on me and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, here's the key. We need each other. Yeah, and they did this, like fellowship. And then they're breaking of bread and praying. All the believers were together and they gave as he had needs. That's ministry, that's serving. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And they were praising God. That's what I felt like happened today in this service. We weren't just singing. We were singing to God Almighty. And it's beyond singing. It's like we're actually like praising and worshiping God. It's a big deal because that's what he said matters. Love the Lord your God. And then it said this, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's number three. Let's go and make disciples. I want to read this to you, but I'm not going to do it very well. I want you to picture kind of this Southern Baptist who just has a little twang in his voice and is like really excited and kind of one of those guys who's hopping and jumping. So if I like lift my leg to the side, it'd be like, you know, me jumping 6 feet in the air. But he says, a church that has purpose, direction, and spiritual maturity is the church where, okay, now picture kind of the twang and the thumping, you know, screaming, yelling, kind of a, you know, just, oh, got to have it. It says, discouraged folks, cheer up. Dishonest folks, fess up. Sour folks, sweeten up. Closed folks, open up. Gossipers, clam up. Conflicted folks, make up. Sleeping folks, wake up. Lukewarm folks are fired up. Dry bones are shaken up. Pew potatoes are standing up. at a place where Christ the Savior of the entire world is lifted up. All right, now we get kind of excited. Somebody get excited. You're about like me. That was great, man. It was like the roar of 10,000 lions. I mean, kittens. It was good. Here's the deal, friends. I want you to understand it's a brand new year. And at Hope Church, even though like the world has changed, and I know some of you can't be here, and we wish you could be here, and it's just awkward. The principles of God have not changed. He wants us to keep it simple, and he wants us to do what matters. And so Jesus said, I'm going to take away 600 plus commands, and I want you to just love me and to love others. And by the way, I'm getting ready to go to heaven, so you got to hear this one. Super important, because I'm going to be gone, and you got to remember this. All authority is mine. And because it's all mine, I want to give you a little help. Go and instruct people to do the two. Hey, and baptize people. Help them to come to know Jesus. And don't forget, I'm with you forever. I'm going to invite the worship team back up, and we're going to sing one last song. And as they're coming up, I want to pray for you that God will help us do the two, and that at Hope Church, we will never lose the focus of these principles. However we practice it, it's fine. But that we do not lose the focus of what matters to Jesus most. Father, thank you that you love us. God, thank you that we're trying at Hope Church to actually do what you want us to do and still keep it simple. God, we really do want it to be simple, and we want it to be effective. God, help each one of us to ask this question, am I doing the two, and then do I have purpose beyond that to actually fulfill that plan that Jesus gives? And am I really understanding the promise of how much he loves me? Father, thank you for Hope Church. I bless them today in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would be our encouragement, Lord, that your face would radiate about us, God, that you, in your presence, we would find peace in spite of all circumstances, I pray. Amen. Let's stand together.